Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise God. Praise God. Good to see all of you. Hallelujah. Yes, let's give our worship team another big hand clap. Yes, I think they did a wonderful job. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yes, we thank God for the weather. Yeah, for the weather right now. This is good weather, isn't it? Hallelujah. Yes, I also have a testimony. I wasn't able to come for prayers on Thursday. Okay? One of the reasons, I was tired. So I decided I won't come. Then as I was picking the children from school, I decided to pass by a certain supermarket called Quick Pick in Mulawa to buy pancakes and bread. My wife had sent me for bread, okay? But I decided it was what? Buy pancakes for myself and for the children. So anyway, they ate theirs in the car, four of them in the car, and remained with two. So we got home, then at around 6, I decided to eat mine, okay? But I was like, this day look good, eh? The maid doesn't eat, you know, eh? So I told the maid that if you eat pancakes, please eat that one, okay? So I ate one, anyway, I took one. So as I'm eating it, man, that pancake was so nice. Okay. I wanted to go and tell the maid that, you know what? You first, you know, this pancake, I'll bring more tomorrow. Then I was like, but maybe I should pay her. Eh? I was like, here is 5K. Let me buy your pancake. Because you can't give an adult 500. You understand, eh? Because I ate there, but I was like, later what? Eat it. And so, after around 30 minutes, Dennis Mujimba, okay, shows up at home. This man was also supposed to be here at the prayer meeting. He shows up at home, and he had been there the previous day, the previous evening. So he comes back. Then I ask him, you know, what have you come to do? Then he gets stuff from his car, and guess what it was? Pancakes. Then I asked him, where did you buy them? Then he tells me, Quick Pick. Glory be to God. Isn't that amazing? Okay? I didn't tell you that when you what? When you brought them. But I was amazed. I was like, you mean God cares about... Okay, don't you mean... But I was like, God really cares about those things. Yeah. Glory be to God. Okay? Then he told me that I was at church. Anyway, I told him that, you know, I didn't go to church because I was feeling weak. Then he told me, yes, I was at church and I didn't see you there. So I don't know why he left and what? Decided to go and buy pancakes. And of course, I'm sure I didn't come back here, all right? But anyway, God is amazing, isn't it? And there were many, eh? How many were there? Because after dinner, okay, after supper, I told my wife to warm for me too. Okay, so what? Dessert, basically. Morning, going to any breakfast, I ate, and meanwhile, the children also, you know, eh? But anyway, I thought I needed to... In fact, I was going to write that testimony on Friday to testify, okay, the miracle of what? Pancakes. Glory be to God. Isn't God amazing? Eh? I'm telling you, that one pancake was so nice. I wanted to tell the maid that, you know what, eh? You chew that pancake. Here's the 5,000, eh? Or I'll bring more what tomorrow. Minutes later, Dennis shows up with pancakes from Quick Pick. Glory be to God. God is amazing. Eh? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. There are young people here who are like, but an old man is testifying about pancakes. But I mean, I wanted pancakes. All right. And God gave me pancakes. Okay. Good. Someone was supposed to be in church. Hallelujah. But maybe that also shows that Dennis was also in the will of God to have exited anyway, whatever. But maybe even if he wasn't in the will of God, he still yielded to the Holy Spirit. Say, what do you want? Glory be to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, on 25th January, that was the other month, okay, 25th January this year, Joanne, it's okay, Sam's wife, had a dream. You all know it, apart from the visitor, okay? And in that dream, Joanne was standing here in front of church, getting ready to preach. Then she told us, the congregation, that her sermon was titled P-U-S-H, push, okay, which stands for pray until something happens. Afterwards, she also told us, the congregation, to open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, which says that pray without ceasing. Okay? And at that point, Joanne's dream ended. Hallelujah. All right? So you can see from this dream, God was giving us an instruction that we should push. We should pray until something happens. And he emphasized that by giving us a scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which says that pray without ceasing. Glory be to God. Amen. And that is what we are going to continue to talk about, okay, in this fifth week, basically. The sermon is Pray Until Something Happens, Part 5. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Yes, visitor, we believe in dreams. We believe that God speaks to us in many ways, including through dreams. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Of course, not all dreams are from God. Not all dreams are from who? Are from God. All right? So we believe God speaks through dreams, but not all dreams are from God. And there are some dreams you have to seek him about, okay, to confirm whether it is him who is speaking, or you're being what? You're being, the enemy just wants to play around with you. Glory be to God. Amen. So we are here to continue to encourage ourselves that we should pray concerning our needs and concerning the needs of our church. We should pray for all those things until something happens. Okay? Which is the same thing as praying without ceasing that Paul told us to do in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Glory be to God. Okay? And Jesus said the same thing. Glory be to God. Jesus said the same thing in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. It says that then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them, his disciples, that men and women, obviously, always ought to pray and not lose heart. Okay? Always ought to pray and not do what? And not lose heart. And not give up. Okay? You should pray until something happens. Okay? And so Jesus went ahead and told them the parable, which we read last week, and you can read in your after here. Glory be to God. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 62, from verse 6, God says that, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They, the watchmen, shall never hold their peace day or night. Then God speaks to those watchmen and says that, you who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establishes and until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Glory be to God. So the same principle here is being applied. Okay? God is telling the watchmen that he has set over with Jerusalem never to hold their peace day or night. To continue, okay? To not to give the Lord rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. All right? God tells them that do not keep silent. Do not do what? Do not keep silent. Hallelujah. Be like some children I know in this church. Okay? Who are what? Chatterboxes. All right? Be like those what? Children. Do not what? Keep silent. Give the Lord no rest until he establishes Jerusalem, until he makes it a praise in the earth. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In the Bible, we have many people who prayed until something happened. Okay? One of them is Elijah. Okay? One of them is who? Is Elijah. We read about that in James chapter 5 from verse 16. We say that, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Then it says that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. All right? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What does it mean for a prayer to be fervent? Okay? According to James chapter 5, 16, in the Amplified Version of the Bible, it says that the earnest, heartfelt, continuing prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Okay? So anyway, fervent means earnest. Okay? And earnest means heartfelt. Okay? And because it is heartfelt, it is continued. It is continuous. Glory be to God. The fervent prayer never stops until something happens, until it gets what it wants, or until it hears from God telling it that that's enough. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Okay, it is heartfelt and it is continuous. Okay? The prayer of the prayer must not continue until something happens. Until they hear from God on that issue. Okay? The prayer of who? The prayer of what? The prayer of the prayer. Glory be to God. Amen? You thought I'd made a mistake. Okay? A person who prays is a prayer. Glory be to God. A person who plays is a what? A player. So, you understand? Eh? The prayer of a prayer shouldn't stop until what? Something happens. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. There's something I'm trying to remember. A story of some guy who used to slash the compound in Budo. Eh? What do you used to slash? A slasher. Okay, so anyway, I have a friend who was in Budo who was telling me that they had a teacher. Okay? This teacher was teaching in Budo, but his English was what? Was not all that there. All right? So he used to tell the what? The students, okay, that that slasher is making for us noise. The person who was what? Was slashing.
Glory be to God.
Yeah, but when you think about it, he wasn't really wrong in what he was saying. Hallelujah. And that's how languages, by the way, evolve. Amen? Yeah, but anyway, the effective, okay, the honest, heartfelt, and continued prayer of a righteous man avails much. Glory be to God. Amen? So again, today's one of the things that this message is supposed to achieve today is encouragement to all of us to continue praying. First of all, we are commanded by God, meaning that there's something God knows about the things that we want. Okay? Either he's seeing some big-time resistance. Okay? Remember, Daniel begins to pray. Okay? An angel is sent with a message. Okay? But Daniel continues to pray. Now, when the angel arrives to give him the message, he tells him that I was held up for 21 days. But Daniel didn't know what was happening. Glory be to God. So imagine if he had stopped on day one. You understand? Eh? Yeah, he wouldn't have received the messenger with a message. Glory be to God. And so, yes, the God who knows all things. Eh? Yes, there's a good reason, a very good reason why he decided to tell us that you guys pray until something happens. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. So anyway, Elijah, the Bible says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Then in verse 17, it says that Elijah was a man with a like nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly. He prayed, okay, his prayer was heartfelt. His prayer was continued. Okay, he prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Okay, then in verse 18 it says that, and he prayed again. Okay, this praying again must also have been earnest, must also have been continued. Okay, he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Okay, this praying again in verse 18, okay, we read about it in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 to start with. In verse 1, the Bible says that, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Okay? So Elijah, anyway, the story goes that he presented himself before Ahab. All right? Now, let's see what the Bible says in verse 42. Okay? After he had presented himself before Ahab, he tells Ahab that now rain is coming. So verse 42 says that, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, okay? And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he, Elijah, bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So this is a praying again that James told us about, amen? So Elijah is now doing what? He's praying. Okay, so now the servant, it says that, the servant went up and looked and said, there is nothing. There is what? There is nothing. But remember, God had told Elijah that I'm going to send rain. I'm going to do what? Send rain. Ahab even tells the prophet, the word of the Lord, that rain is coming. Okay? But here we can see that Elijah just didn't stop at doing that. He also went and prayed. Okay? And now he prays and he expects rain to start. Okay? He sends a servant and say, Gendolabe, you know? Okay, look at the sky, you know? Is there something? And the servant said, there's nothing. Okay? Obviously, this is a delay. But Elijah did not stop doing what? Praying. Okay? The Bible says that, and seven times he told the servant that, go again. You know, and those seven times, Elijah was also praying. All right? The Bible says in verse 44 that then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he, Elijah, said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. The reason why I'm reading this is because here we see Elijah had a promise from God. Okay? A promise from God that rain is coming. Okay? But we still see Elijah going to pray. And we see that he didn't get, the rain didn't appear on the first prayer. Hallelujah. It is until after seven times that he gets to see the promise of the Lord, the promise of rain. Glory be to God. So here we see that there are some things God will promise you, and the promise will be sure, but he will need your involvement in prayer for that thing to come to pass, or for it to come to pass at the right time. Okay? If you don't pray for some of those things, they might come to pass, but in the like later than they should have happened. Glory be to God. Amen? So as a church, we have promises. Okay? We should pray until that promise comes to pass. Hallelujah. At the time when it should come to pass. Hallelujah. As individuals, we have needs. And God is encouraging us, pray until something. We have promises from God. You received a sure promise from God. Now God is encouraging us that we shouldn't stop praying until something happens. We should pray unceasingly. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen? Yeah, there's some things people even have to pray for years. For what? For years. Okay, now, I'm not saying that everything we're praying for is going to be for years. But there's some things which, if you really like them that much, okay, you have to be ready to put in hours, to put in years of prayer. Glory be to God. I remember when I just got born again. I got born again in 1998. Then around that time, less than a year thereafter, I got to learn of a certain preacher in the States. And he amazed me by the wisdom with which he was speaking. Okay? So I'm talking about Robert Lyadon, the girl of God's generals. Okay, so anyway, I got to know that he was in California. Okay, then listening to him, I got to know that even some of the people who he was teaching about, okay, had lived and they had died in California, like Catherine Coleman, okay, Amy Semple McPherson, Maria Woodworth Eater, okay? And so I began praying to God, man. I was like, God, please take me to California. Not to stay there for even just a week or a day. Okay, number one, to meet Robert Slade. Number two, to see where Catherine Coleman was buried. Number three, to see that church, okay, in Los Angeles, where Amy Semple McPherson established a church. Uh-huh. Then there was, you guys know what is called the Azusa Street Revival, okay, which began this whole Pentecostal movement, the speaking in tongue, okay? 312, yes, I think the address was 312 Azusa Street. So I was like, I also want to see that place. You know, and they were all in California, okay? So I prayed to God. Then I also knew at that time that Benny Hinn was also in California. So from 1998, I began to pray, okay? Or I begin to pray, okay? 99, meanwhile, anyway, 99 goes, 98 goes, 99 comes and goes, 2000 comes and goes, 2001 comes and goes, okay? I used to go to a certain place at the university because I was a student. We used to call it MTR Revival, okay? MTR. There was a tree there. It was between the main hall and St. Francis, okay? Students used to go there to pray at night, praying, man, shouting, shandering. Fine guys, they are rolling in the ground. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. Many years later, Sam Mwanga's cousin, some guy called Derek, were with him in SMAC, okay? But he was 1 year below me. And then many years later, he tells me, that man, I used to see you in that place. Because for him, it was passing either to go and take alcohol, eh? Because he was a drunkard, you know? Either to go and take alcohol or to go into girls' halls. Eh? So as he passes there, man, the guy said, man, I used to see you there. And I was like, man, this guy is missing life. This guy was within smack, man. Now he has messed up himself. He's there among the guys who are what? But I never used to pray like that, you know. For some reason, even up to now, that kind of whatever doesn't appeal to you know, just pray in town. You shout, but no, you know. Anyway, but later he gets saved. That's when now he told me that, man, I used to see you, you know. And so I used to go to that place, and one of the things I was praying for was California. Okay, God, please take me to California. I'd never been out of this country. I'd never been to Nairobi, Dar es Salaam, Kigali, you know, the neighboring countries. Okay, you can see I started shooting, you know, like I was shooting high. Okay, yeah. Then 2001. Something happens that should have made me stop praying that prayer. Ideally, anyone who has natural sense in there, if you use your natural sense, okay, you should have stopped praying that stuff. And life goes on. Because, yeah, Lydon was involved in a mistake, in a sin, okay, for a few month, and then he comes out and confesses publicly. Basically, the whole world, it was all over the internet. You understand? And it was bad. Eh? All right? Now, at that point, you should stop. You should do what? Because you're like, you know, guy, he has disappointed, you know? As in. All right? But realize that he hadn't become a devil worshiper. There's a difference between being in sin and being of the devil. You know what I mean? Eh? There's a difference between, who should I use an example? Andrew, no. You say Andrew. Let me use you. Anyway, there's a difference between a Christian getting involved in sin for a week or for a day or for months, There's a difference between that and him going into what? Any turning himself over to the devil and becoming a devil worshiper, like what happened to Elvis Mbonye, you know, my friend back in the day, Elvis Mbonye, okay? Yeah, being in that class of the grace rubegas, okay? Because those two guys are what? Devil worshippers, proper. Most of you know that, so I don't want to go into that. Yeah, so Ladon, that wasn't the case. And you see, even he comes out, he confesses, open, you know. So I should have stopped praying at that time. And I remember it was 2001, anyway, around that time. So I should have stopped. And life moves on. You start praying for land. Start praying for land. Okay, start praying for a car. Okay. But anyway, I continue. Because I had the sense to know that he still had what he had, you know, the wisdom that he got, okay, after doing history, Christian history, which God told him to, you know, to do. Remember that story? When he was 12 years old, he was watching TV, then Jesus walked into the room. Then he told him, I want you to study the lives of my great men and women. I want you to know why those who succeeded, why they succeeded. I want you to know by studying their lives, why those who failed. Okay? And then he told him that, I want you to have that info, to know that info, like you know the back of your hand. Okay? Then he tells him, because you need to teach the generation coming these things. Because if they don't get to know these things, okay, they will make the same mistakes as those who have gone before them. Then he told him that, and if you do that work well, I will make you meet the generals of your generation. Glory be to God. And that means that each generation has generals. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, from age 12, okay, a young man, 12 years old, begins to do what? History, research, man. 12 years. Amen. And so, because of that, he attained a lot of wisdom. And that's why I wanted to meet him, so that, you know, he prays for me. In fact, I used to pray to God, and I was like, God, let all the wisdom that is in Robert Sladen, let it be in me. You know, I used to pray those things, man. And not only that, but also I want to meet him, okay? And I want to see where Catherine Kuhlman was buried. And I want to see Benny Hinn. I don't want to meet Benny Hinn, but at least to see him. Hallelujah. I want to see 312 Azusa Street, where the Pentecostal movement began. Okay? I want to see where, you know, that square by Amy Semple McPherson. Glory be to God. I was serious about these things. Hallelujah. So 201 comes, it goes. 202 comes, it goes. 203 comes, it goes. 204 comes, it goes, but I'm still what? Hey, I got jobs up country. And while I was up country, I was still praying for those things. Hallelujah. If you're up country and you need a place to pray, just ask around for a Church of Uganda church. Okay? Up country, well, I don't know whether it is still the same, but back in the day, those churches were always open. And there was always no one. Glory be to God. So I would go in, man, pray, man. After my work, pray. Ngandiyo mchalo. Apacha ruwa kihihi nkanungu. Chenjojo. In fact, one time I was praying, what? Chenjojo. I used to go there every evening, man. praying. Okay? Then as I'm praying, some guy, he was a reverend. Okay? He comes to me. And first what? Because I used to pay, But he stops me and say, after you finish, and to see you, come to my office. I said, now what is this? Is Banoba Reverend cutting kozechi? What is this case? Anyway, but after I finished to pray, I went to his office. Then Bambi, I realized that the guy was a good man. He had no issues with me. Okay, he asked me, who are you? Then I told him who I was, and say, yeah. Then told me, now, when you're praying, also remember us, the weak. Because for us, we are weak. We can't pray like you. You know, and so, man, when you're praying, remember us. Wow, I was so blessed by him. The guy had been impressed by this young man who he was seeing every day at a certain point, coming in to pray, and for a long time. Then there used to be those kids who would come in the window, man, And I used to chase them away because there were, kids, man, just are mesmerized by this stranger. They don't know whether the guy is a rebel, You know, country, man, if you're a stranger, they see you quick, they're like, hey, go, you are college. Okay? Then I remember in Kanungu, again, after I'll do my work, I'll go to pray. All right? So anyway, so one time I'm in the Church of Uganda, I'm praying. Then as I'm praying, I realize that guys are they're starting a small meeting outside the church. Outside the church, like at the entrance. I was like, now, how will I get out of here? All right? So, and that kept me in there longer because I was like, man, guys are first of all, they don't know me, But as they're there, you can see them looking in the church, And so I finished to pray, I got the boldness to walk out. So now, as I'm going out, some wave at me like this, and guys are looking at me like, man, you can see that expression, this holy man, this holy young man. Anyway, but one of the things I was praying for was this, California. Then, but you guys, God is faithful. Hallelujah. Some of these things you have to pray until something happens. And some of these things, and notice, I'm not saying that. Anyway, some things you're going to have to pray for years. Hallelujah. So now it is in 2005, that I receive a scholarship, to go and study, do a master's in California. Glory be to God. I was there I go 6 weeks later. Flora joins me. I think Flora's organization was broke, so there's a six-week course she didn't do. Because you had to pay for it separately from the master's, Anyway, so God answers my prayer. A few months later, to cut a long story short, that 1 year that I was there, I met Robert Lardon twice. Took pictures of the pics. One of these days I should what? Twice in that 1 year. And I told him why I came to America. I didn't go to America to study. Flora knows that. I didn't study. You know that? Of course, I studied, but I was like, they are not there in my future. Because I knew God had spoken to me that I was going to become a preacher. So the master's, I didn't take it seriously. The same way I didn't take medical school seriously. I just wanted to get a 50 and get out and pass. Because I was like, this is not the reason why I was born. So anyway, I met Lyadon. I saw Catherine Kuman's grave. How we got in there, that's another story. You understand? Man, it was miraculous. I think I've said that story. How, you know, we go to, you know, how we enter the place with cameras. Sometimes it was illegal. They get you, you're going to be deported. But we did it. We took snaps. I have them, you know, I saw Benny Hinn. There's a conference, you know, we drove down to L.A., Anaheim. I saw Amy Semple, McPherson's church. We entered in there, okay? By the time I came back here in Uganda, it seemed like I didn't have any other thing to live for. Like, I came back when I was like, now, what? Like, I needed new dreams. You understand? Like, I needed a new dream because everything I had ever wanted in my life had been fulfilled. Glory be to God. But the point I'm trying to make is that this laden thing, and by the way, even though I met Liadon, okay, still, you remember, I wanted to meet him, but I also wanted all the wisdom that was in him to be in me also. Now, that second prayer wasn't answered that time. Glory be, it wasn't, but I met him. Okay? So I continued to pray. 2 or 7, I would pray, God, let all the wisdom that you gave Liadon, let all the knowledge of you that is in him, let it be in me. Okay? 2 or 7, 2 or 8, 2 or 9, 2 or 10, 2 or 11, 2 or 12, 2 or 13, 2 or 14, 2 or 15. Okay, by that time the church has begun. Then I think 2 or 16 or 15. Okay, that year my wife is the one who comes up with these grand ideas. Okay, thank God for women, man. Okay, men, you can't operate alone, man. Okay, she's the one. Anyway, she came up with those idea, with an idea of we go to the States for holiday. Now for me, I wasn't really interested. Because I'd been there and I'd seen how, like, there was nothing to take me there. But for actually, then anyway, but I was like, to the effect that I'll think about it. Okay? But I was like, but for you can go, but for me, I need to think, you know? Then that time, someone gave me, was it around 16 million shillings? Okay, so, you know, 16 million shillings. And then God told me that now you don't have an excuse for not going to what? For the holiday. He's like, you've done a great job, go. So anyway, we went. Now, as we are landing in San Francisco, I receive an email notification, okay? And the email was saying that Robert Liadon was going to be in town for 3 days. Okay? Just as you land in San Francisco, California, okay, an email notification comes and say, Liadon is in town at a certain church. Okay? I think in the next 2 days. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I attended the meeting. But before the meeting, no, I think it was at the end, I went, I spoke to him. Then I said, do you remember me? We met twice in 2006. He's like, yes, I remember you. Why? Game man could remember me. Eight or 9 years later. Okay. Then after we talked, I gave him what? 100, what? Just to honor the man, you understand? Because you honor, anyways. Then went back to sleep. And the following day, I'm coming back. Now, then in the night, I had a dream. And the dream was essentially saying that when you meet him again, give him another $100. And when you do that, okay, the spirit of wisdom that is upon him will come upon you. That which you have been praying for over 10 years, this is what? Kati osalewo. Because, man, the budget was tight. The budget was what? Hey, but God's like, now, if you want that which you've been for years, you're going to have to give him another 100 what? Dollars. Anyway, it happened and it happened. Glory be to God. But the point is, that took many years of praying unceasingly. Glory be to God. Fervent prayer. Okay? Heartfelt. Continued. Remember, there was an opportunity, 201, I think it was, to give up on that. You know, eh? And there's some things you pray for where an opportunity, in quotes, will come for you to what? Eh? There's something which maybe I shouldn't have what? Given up. Eh? But I think I gave up. But sometimes I think about it, and I what? And I still want it, but I'm like, I don't know whether what. Should I tell you what it is? Anyway, I'll tell you. It's interesting, but there was a time when it was so dear to my heart. Okay, way before I think I even got what married. Yeah? Okay, this whole idea of having twins. You know, twins, to me, every time I meet twins, like a mesmerized, it amazes me. Twins, like especially identical twins. And especially if they are girls, man. You know, girls are wonderful creatures. Okay? Especially now when they are out, you know. So I remember back in the day, like I began to talk to God over this matter of twins. Okay, then at a certain point, maybe God was like, I don't know. Yeah, but sometimes I think about it, and I'm like, anyway, yeah, at least I'll go to heaven. There's nothing better than going to heaven. Glory be to God. But maybe I should what? I should resurrect that issue. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. There's nothing impossible, what, with God, if it is not sinful. You know, eh? Hallelujah. But let us pray without what? Let us pray without ceasing. Okay? There's some other things. There's something I prayed for again for years. Okay? For years. And this one was a promise from God. God gave me a promise. I prayed for years. Maybe they were like 3 years. Then afterwards, I know for sure God was like, now, cutting now that one. Yeah, my promise has, something has happened and it won't come to pass, okay? So leave it, okay? Yeah, now, let me show you. Yeah, then God, within a year or two, he gave me something better. Glory be to God. So there are those things which will be promises from heaven. The enemy can, you know, fight against them. Okay, and God will be like, okay, leave that one. Now I'll give you something better. Hallelujah. But that betterness or the better, getting something better, in my opinion, it is on condition that you'll have done your part. For example, in praying until something happens. You have pushed, okay? And in that case, there's something happening will be God coming and tell you, now you've done your what? You've petitioned me, you've done this, now stop. Now just wait and see what I'm going to do with you, what I'm going to give you, okay? So that you never even have to say, the other thing. You understand? Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Again, this is to encourage us. Okay, let us not lose heart as we pray. Glory be to God. Now, the other thing quickly that I wanted us to take care of as we pray is that, as you're praying, if you have done something wrong ask for forgiveness from the person. You understand? Eh? Especially when God reminds you of that issue as you're pushing. You know, eh? Because these are the things, like asking for forgiveness for something wrong that you did, they are the things that will make our prayers more effective or effective. Okay? James chapter 5, 16. You see, that's why today I read from the beginning of the verse. Last week I read from, yeah. It says that confess your trespasses to one another. So you've wronged someone, you have trespassed. Okay, confess. Eh? Okay, tell the person, you know, I did this. Okay, and I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Forgive me. Okay, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And you know what the next sentence says? The next sentence says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. So asking forgiveness for the wrongs you've done someone, okay, will help to make our pushing more effective. Are you listening to me? This is very important, and as Pentecostals, we tend to neglect it. We just think that the more we shout, the more we do, But God is like, you're not going to confuse me. You see, you wronged someone. Go and say what? Hey, hallelujah. And if you can, do restitution. Okay? Like you sold someone air. Someone wanted land. They came to you. Novatunes and Peo. You know, and you fleeced them. Okay? Yeah. You go, say sorry, and if you are able, pay back the person's money. Hmm? Don't just say, I'm sorry for money. I ate your money. Okay? Yeah, forgive me. But at the same time, you're ordering for a car. At the same time, ostule chizimbe. Now you have the money. Pay back the person's money. Hmm? And if you're sensible enough, if you went to school, get a money inflation, what? Because you played his money 3 years ago. Hmm? Let's say 1 million shillings. Now that 1 million shillings 2024 is not the same value as 1 million shillings 2023. So add in a 200, a 300K. Do you understand? Glory be to God. Okay? Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is, if you've wronged someone, okay, go and say sorry. Okay? Confess your sins. I did this, and ask for forgiveness. Glory be to God. Amen? Okay? Realize that those two sentences, okay, the one of confessing your trespasses and the one of fervent prayer are in the same verse. Meaning that they are related. Glory be to God. So don't ignore these things. Hallelujah. Say sorry. Okay? The times when I say some things here as I'm preaching, and then I realize, Bambi, I could have offended this friend of mine. Okay? There's a time there are some things I said here, and I thought, I could have offended the Mujimbas. Okay? So I think either that same day or the following day, I called Dennis. I'm like, did I say anything wrong? I said this and this and this was it. They say, tewari tabu. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Okay? But that time, then the time I talked about ice cream, how, you know, you shouldn't over whatever, your kids, ice cream, they'll grow fat. Okay? Then someone, anyway, there's someone who said that I was talking about their daughter. That one I didn't confess my what. Because first of all, I didn't know that that girl was eating ice cream. Anyway, but this person who came and told me that, Pastor, you are talking about my what? My child. But it is just her birthday. It is just her birthday. That one we just laughed over it. There was no, I didn't done anything wrong. I was preaching under inspiration. You know, eh? Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's another thing when you speak something deliberately. You know, eh? Yeah, but this one, I was just speaking my things. That one, there's no one confessing. No. That one, you, whoever feels chamkuye, chamkuye, is it? We're sorting it. Glory be to God. Yeah, but we need to what? Yeah, to confess our sins, eh? One to another. You know, eh? Say sorry, eh? Guy, boy, as in, it didn't have to be you. You don't have to go with what, eh? I mean, if someone is your friend, eh? You can just go and say, eh? But Bruce man, chiri chenakoze, eh? So anyway, eh? It's again the day. But at times, what again the day? You just say, man, so anyway, eh? Nakuisiza wobi, eh? Na eh? So anyway, no, gama, it's okay, yeah. Game, you know, and life, what? If you have some dime, you go and you what? Eat pork and what? Watch a match, you know, eh? Glory be to God. But realize that, okay, confessing your trespasses to one another, it is in the same verse with fervent prayer. It is in the same verse with pray until something happens. Meaning that those two are related. Glory be to God. So please, don't neglect that. Don't what? Neglect that. These are serious things. And barokole, we ignore these things. And we just say, man, for me, I'm a prayer warrior. But your prayer warrior was who is hurting many people and you don't care. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The other thing, by the way, Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 5, 23. He says that, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, okay, what do you do? Leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Glory be to God. So you've come to the altar, you've come to pray, you know, eh? You've come to sing unto the Lord, but you wronged someone. Okay? The Lord expects us to go and say sorry. Ask for forgiveness. Reconcile with your brother, with your sister. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, the other thing that we need to do is we need to forgive. Forgiveness. Hallelujah. We need to do what? We need to forgive. We shouldn't have unforgiveness and bitterness in our what? In our hearts. Glory be to God. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 says that, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, so now it is you as something against a person. The other one was someone has something against you. Okay, now you have something against someone. Jesus tells us that forgive that person, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So, meaning that you will remain with your sins. Okay? And as you know, and we shall see shortly, okay? The Bible says, God doesn't listen to the unrighteous, to sinners. Of course, he hears, but he ignores. Glory be to God. So anyway, forgive people. Do what? Forgive. Okay? Now this will not only help you in as far as effective fervent prayer is concerned, but in the long term, it will ensure that you enter heaven. You understand? Because, remember, Jesus has said, if you don't forgive, then you also won't be forgiven. And those who are not forgiven of their sins, those whose sins haven't been washed away, are going to hell. Do you understand? So this not only has temporal benefits of making your prayer effective, okay, but it also has eternal consequences. Glory be to God. Amen? I've read stories, listened to stories of people who have had the privilege of being taken to see heaven and hell. Okay? And there are some who report that, man, there are Christians in hell, and the only reason why they're in hell is because they had unforgiveness in their hearts. Are you listening to me? Please do that. Okay? And pastor, also you, okay, do what? Or practice what? What you preach. Glory be to God. All right? So you can see, praying and forgiving, they are related. Okay? You know that. Eh? But God, for some reason, is reminding us of that as we push. Glory be to God. So if someone has done something against you and they come to you and say, Sonyewa, God says, forgive them. If you behave like children and some adults who are like, Sijaku Sonyewa, I won't forgive you. I won't. Now, those are yours. Their person has asked for forgiveness. If you don't forgive them now, chirikugwe. According to heaven, the person who's asking forgiveness, they are clean. But if they are kids, they think they will come crying, Daddy, what? I told her to forgive me. She has refused. You know, eh? But if you are not that, you're like, but for me, I did my part. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah. Glory be to God. Yeah. And others, at times, we're also like that. You somehow feel like if I refuse to forgive them, you're hurting them. But you don't know that you're hurting yourself and you're creating an express highway to hell for yourself. Hallelujah. You're messing up yourself now and eternally. So, guy, Musonyiwe, okay, the emotions might still be there that, man, you can't just say, forgive me, and you just get off the hook like that. Forgive, and then tell God to deal with what? The emotions. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory be to God. Now, lastly, as you pray until something happens, as you pray without ceasing, okay? Also, first of all, James chapter 5, 16, which says that confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man are those who march. Notice that it also says that the effective fervent prayer of who? A righteous man. Hallelujah. So one of the things that will make our prayers effective is righteousness. Okay? The effective prayer, okay, that avails much is not for anybody. Okay, here it says that it is for a righteous man. In addition, of course, to a man who confesses his trespasses to the person he has trespassed against. Glory be to God. Very important. We need to walk in what? Righteousness. Hallelujah. Okay? Who is a righteous person? A righteous person, according to the Bible, not according to people's theories, okay? People's minds. According to the Bible, a righteous person is defined, and one of the places where it is defined, it is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. It says that, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, the Lord, is righteous. So a righteous person is a person who practices righteousness. So a mulokole, a Christian, someone who's born again, okay? The Bible says that when you get born again, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, isn't it? Okay? However, if you're not practicing righteousness, the Bible also says that you are not righteous. Okay? And because you're not righteous, okay, your prayers will not be effective. Because it says that, okay, James 5:16 says that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. Okay? Not the effective fervent prayer of any Christian. Very important things. Hallelujah. And this also has both temporal consequences, your prayers getting answered, but it also has eternal consequences. Because the Bible is so clear when it says that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So let us pay attention to this thing. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, I will jump down to verse 12. I'll leave verse 8 to 11. I'll just do 12. It says that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Okay? The eyes of the Lord are on who? Remember, 1 Peter is in the New Testament. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Okay? But the face of the Lord is against those, Christian and unchristian, well, Christian and non-Christian, who do evil. Glory be to God. Amen? So if we want our prayers to be effective, people, okay, let us walk in what? Righteousness. Okay? Let us forgive. Okay? Let us walk in forgiveness. Let there not be unforgiveness in our hearts. Okay? And let us also confess our sins, our trespasses, to those whom we have wronged. Go and say sorry. Go and say what? Go and say sorry. Okay? And ask for forgiveness. When you've asked for forgiveness, yeah? Okay? Now, the ball is in the person's hands. And let you asking for forgiveness be sincere. Don't just say, Batugambi, what? Oh, what? Sorry. Hallelujah. Be sincere. Glory be to God. All right? But you don't have to say, forgive me for things you haven't, what? Yeah. Married, what? This is for our wives. A message to our wives. These wives of ours, okay? Hallelujah. Mine is not included in that list. They want us to ask for forgiveness for things we haven't done. For me, that one, what? But I can say, sorry, Bambi, what? Your feelings were hurt, you know, or you're feeling bad because of what? Sorry. But the story is not asking for forgiveness. It is to empathize with you. You're my wife. When you're not happy, I'm not happy. If mama ain't what? Yes. If mama ain't happy, what? Ain't nobody happy. These things are true, man. If a woman in the house, man, things are bad. Mwena. Children included. Hallelujah. And sometimes, by the way, workplaces also suffer. Where that mama works. Bambi, innocent people at the workplace, man. My, whatever the wrath of what? Hey, innocent human beings. Hey, men, they say that men know how to what? Compartmentalize. They know how to place their thing. If you have someone, they leave them home. Then they reach workplace, they're, you know. Of course, not all men are not all the time, but men usually, you know, the guy is happy at work, man. Comes back home, they continue where they began, what? Where they stopped the other day. But I hear, I don't know if it's true, but women, for them, they will leave where things take them to work, unleash wrath on them, come back home, things have not, what? The guys, I can't say it, sorry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let us pray until something happens. But as we do that, let us ask for forgiveness, let us forgive, and also let us walk in what? Righteousness. Glory be to God.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.